How's it going, everybody? This is Zach here with Auctionable Offense, just doing a little mini episode. Charlie and I are going to do these from now and again. We're just going to call them Zach Talks or Charlie Talks, and what it's basically going to be is just a short little blurb with either some breaking news or something that we want to talk about that maybe doesn't warrant a full episode. And so I'm just here today to do a little bit of draft talk, a little preview. And before I get into that, I realized that we have not mentioned what the song is in our intro or who the song is by. So that is a song called So Sorry by a band called Syndrome of Fire. There's some friends of mine who I would definitely suggest you check them out. They do some awesome music. They've got some news coming out soon. I don't know exactly what that is going to be, but yeah, check them out. These episodes are just going to be short, quick, and probably not even going to have any editing done, which, as you know from our first two episodes, the editing is suspect at best anyway, so maybe that's not something that's really going to be missed. But hey, you know, draft hype is in full effect. Right now it is 10:47 a.m. Eastern, and I just thought let's get some of this stuff in. I know there's going to be news that breaks all day long, and there's going to be projections and people coming up with crazy stuff. And I thought, hey, I'm into that stuff, so let's just go over a few things. First of all, at the end of episode two, yesterday actually is when it dropped. I mentioned that I had a crazy idea that the Browns were going to end up with four first round picks. And I kind of want to illustrate a little bit of how I think some of these, how they're going to be able to acquire more picks and some scenarios that I think, while they probably won't end up being right, are some things that they at least live in the realm of possible. And I'll just real quick kind of go over it. So the way that I think the Browns end up trading the fourth pick is if the first three picks are all quarterbacks. And it doesn't matter what quarterbacks they are, to be quite honest. The Browns have been mocked at least three different quarterbacks by big names. And it sounds like the Giants maybe are only sold on Darnold. I don't know. I don't buy it. I think quarterbacks are going to go top three regardless. So that is where the fourth pick kind of gains a ton of value. There's going to be other teams that want to leapfrog the Broncos in case they want to take a quarterback. The Dolphins might be looking to move up. The Bills, of course, the Cardinals, the Ravens, maybe the Chargers. You know, there are a lot of teams that either, you know, they don't have a quarterback situation figured out at all, or they don't have a future figured out for after their quarterback gets too old. So ultimately, I think the Bills are going to be willing to pay the most, and I think that's contrary to some reports that have come out. I think some things that I've seen are that the Bills will only trade the 12 and some future picks and maybe next year's one. I think if it really comes down to it and they want a quarterback and the Browns say, look, we're getting both of your first-round picks this year, you're not getting our pick, I think the Bills make the move. Bills trade up to four to leapfrog the Broncos, and they send 12 and 22 and either a second, or they send back pick 65. I think at that point, negotiations won't get hung up over that second round or pick or pick 65. I think I'm sure they'll figure it out. So in this scenario, Browns, Giants, Jets, Bills all go quarterback. And then the Broncos are actually in a really good situation. Denzel Ward's available, Chubb and Barkley. And I think really the decision comes down to Chubb or Barkley for them. And so this is kind of where the next big move could happen. I think the Broncos stay at this point unless somebody's willing to give them just a ridiculous trade. But I personally think Chubb would be the pick here for them. It makes sense to add another pass rusher. They already have an excellent pass rushing team there, but you never could have enough. So I really think they'd go Chubb, but they could go Barkley. Who knows? And then the Colts are in a really good spot there too. I really don't think that the Colts would go Barkley. I don't think that it, well, I guess they have a new regime, so maybe they do. Just as a guy living in Indiana, I don't get the feeling that that's what they would do. So either way, the Colts are in a good spot for a trade down. I think the Raiders would trade up if Chubb is there. I think they might even do it for Barkley, but I think the Raiders would trade up for Chubb. Colts would be able to move down to 10 and pick up the Raiders' second round pick at 41. It makes a lot of sense for both teams, I think. But if Barkley is there, I think at this point the Browns could get on the phone with the Colts and they would move back up for Barkley. So they would send pick 12 and either 35 and get something back, or 64 and a mid-round pick. I personally think the Colts would probably do it for 12, 64, and a mid-round pick, and maybe a future two or something like that. I think it would be a really friendly trade for both of them. It would make a lot of sense, and that would get teams ahead of the Bucks, who could also be going after Barkley. So right now, if these scenarios would play out this way with the Browns moving back up to 6, it means the Browns have their quarterback and they have Barkley and they still have pick 22, 33, and 35. And also probably pick 65 from the Bills. Either pick 65 or what's the Bills second round? And also probably 53. One or the other. So, at this point, I'm not really going to project a bunch of the rest of these picks. It gets into players that I don't know well enough. I'm not a big tape watcher. I used to be, but you know, just a different phase of my life. So at that point, I think the way the rest of the round plays out, we're going to see at least one or two quarterbacks go again. I think possibly up to 7. I think that's doubtful. I think we're going to see 5, maybe 6. But then I think that the Browns probably use 35 to jump back up into the end of the first. A few teams that I think make a lot of sense, depending on how the boards fall, are basically any team from 26 to 32. They all make sense to varying degrees, depending on what happens with certain positions. I think the Steelers are going to want to stay in the first. I think we could also say the same about the Saints. But I think all the other teams make a lot of sense for moving back. And particularly, I think the Saints might want to stay if there's a quarterback that they want. And the Steelers might stick around for a running back or any of a few other positions. So, that's kind of how I feel like the Browns might end up with 4 first-round picks. And also how the Colts end up with just a ton of second-round capital. And I think they'd be smart to do that. Real quick, I want to run through just a few of the most fantasy-relevant players and some spots that I think make the best sense for them. So, quarterbacks, I'm just going to go with the top 4 here. I think Darnold makes sense with the Browns. Just seems to make the best sense. Mayfield, while I would be really happy if he went to my Dolphins, I think the Jets are kind of just, with his personality, everybody's been saying it's just a great spot for him and his personality. I think he would really thrive there with that media. And then I think Allen and Rosen probably make the best sense to me with the Cardinals. That he'd get either one would get an opportunity to sit and not have to start. I know everybody says Josh Rosen is the most ready quarterback in this draft, but I don't necessarily think that matters too much. But yeah, they get an opportunity to sit behind Sam Bradford until he either gets injured or, you know, maybe he finally has a healthy season. So that's where I think those 4 quarterbacks make the most sense. Running back position, while Barkley has a lot of suitors, I think the teams where he would fit best are the Broncos, the Bucks, and the 49ers. And I know everybody's on the Jerick McKinnon train right now, but I mean, I don't dislike McKinnon, but I also don't think that he's a bell cow. And Saquon Barkley is a bell cow. I don't necessarily think the 49ers are going to move up to try to get him or anything, but if he falls into their laps, maybe he takes them. The teams that I think make the best sense for Geis and Michelle, both essentially the same fits with teams, in my opinion, are the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Steelers. The Steelers, they'd have an opportunity to move on from Le'Veon Bell if they want to. I think his price is getting definitely way higher than I would be willing to pay for a running back if I were a GM. Now, clearly, I'm a guy sitting on my couch at home recording a podcast with just by myself. So, what do I know? But I think the running back position is getting too expensive for them. And if they're able to move on with a guy like Geis or Michelle, I think it happens. Now, I also just saw a report that Michelle has bone on bone in his knee. And I think that's a really convenient thing to come out on draft day. So I don't know where the report came out of. I just saw it and didn't really look into it. But I think that's just one of those super convenient reports to come out on draft day. So I'm not going to put a ton of stock into it, but if it is this, if it is that case, then I guess his longevity is certainly in question, sort of like how Jay Ajayi's has been. But I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. And then the other top running back that I had based this is all these players I essentially picked out of Matt Miller's big board, his top 50. So. You know, you may agree or disagree, but these are the players that I have listed right now. The other guy is Ronald Jones, and I think he makes a lot of sense to the Colts, the Browns, or the the Broncos, or the Raiders in the second round. I think he'd fit a good role with all of those teams. The Raiders, while they do have some running backs right now, I don't think that they have a permanent solution. So let's go ahead and I have two tight ends on here. I have Mike Gesicki and Dallas Goddard, you know, whatever, however you want to say it. I'm just going to go totally for fantasy purposes and say that they both make sense to the Patriots. Now, I don't think that the Patriots should draft both of them, but either one would make sense to the Patriots. I think the Jaguars are another spot where they would fit pretty well. And let's hit the wide receiver position real quick, too. Calvin Ridley makes the best sense, I think, to the Cowboys and Bengals. I think the Bengals are very unlikely based on John Ross being picked there last year. But this is the NFL. I think the Lions took 3 first-round receivers in 4 years under Matt Millen. So who knows? It could happen. I don't think it's super likely, but I think the Cowboys do make a ton of sense there. Courtland Sutton makes sense for the Cowboys, Falcons, Seahawks, Jaguars, and Bengals. One of those players that I feel like could fill a role on a lot of teams, but based on where he's projected, I think those 5 teams would all be very happy to get him. And then Christian Kirk, Packers, Colts, Broncos make a lot of sense. He'd be able to fill roles with those teams. I know he is projected as a little bit more of a slot player, and the Packers still have Randall Cobb, but the Packers have also shown in the past, under their previous leadership with Ted Thompson, that they have the foresight to go after players before they really need them and give them an opportunity to develop, especially at the receiver position. And then I added a player here because I'm a big EQSB fan. Sorry, Charlie, I did it again. The Q is always going to be there. And we talked about it briefly last episode and maybe even the first episode, so we might be beating a dead horse here. I think he makes so much sense to the Packers, and I would love it. But the Colts and Broncos also make sense there, too. So Kirk and EQ, I think it would be nice to see them both go to one of those 3 teams. And, of course, you know, we are into the IDP leagues. So I'll touch on a couple, handful, maybe 6 or 7 IDPs here real quick. I want to see Chubb go to the Broncos, period. End of story. Broncos are where I want him to go. Backup option would be the Raiders. I think he'll thrive with another pass rusher. The Browns would be okay too, but I think in the scenarios the way that they're probably going to play out, the Browns will move back and not hang on to Chubb at that position. A couple other edge rushers, Marcus Davenport and Harold Landry. Cowboys, Seahawks, and Lions are kind of the places where I see the best possibility for some fantasy production. Then let's hit the Minka Fitzpatrick is kind of, he's a DB. Is he a slot corner? Is he a safety? I think ultimately it sounds like he's not going to be that fantasy relevant. Might be an awesome NFL player, but as far as fantasy goes, I think he's going to get the cornerback designation and probably play in the slot quite a bit. If you are in a corner required league, you might have some interest in him. I think a lot of the good ideas with corners is keep them for a year or two, let them put up some stats, and find somebody that's going to give you anything for them, because the closer they get to elite, the less often they put up big numbers. So Fitzpatrick is probably a guy I'm not going to be targeting. The other safety, Derwin James, makes a ton of sense to the Bucks, Bears, Dolphins, and Washington for fantasy relevance, in my opinion. But he's one of those players that could go pretty much anywhere, and he's probably going to end up being a top 12, if not higher, fantasy safety within the next few years. Tremaine Edwards and Roquan Smith are the linebackers that seem to make the most fantasy relevant sense, at least at the top of the draft. And I think the Raiders and Dolphins are both player or teams where those players could perform. I really would like to see both of those linebackers in the 4-3. That's kind of a personal thing. I like my tackle heavy linebackers to play 4-3 inside linebackers, or depending on schemes, they can be outside. But I really prefer to see guys inside. And to be quite honest, I don't know if either of these players really project to the inside or if they're going to be stronger weeks. But I in general, prefer a 4-3 linebacker unless I'm able to start four or more linebackers. And then a couple D linemen, Vita Vea and Daron Payne. They're both big boys. If they're going to be fantasy relevant, I think they need to go to 4-3 teams, and you're going to have defensive tackle requirements in those leagues for them to be super fantasy relevant. Vea could maybe go to a 3-4 team as a 3-4 end and maybe be a number 3 defensive lineman. But I really think 4-3 is going to be what determines if they are fantasy relevant or not. And we got to keep in mind, these guys are going to be on these teams, if they work out, for at least 4 years. So you're going to be drafting them, or should be drafting them, in my opinion, for where they end up for the first few years. I wouldn't project out any further than that. So yeah, those are just some of my draft thoughts. Another thing that we're going to be doing tonight is Charlie and I have a live draft ranker, essentially, that we're going to be working on. It's just a Google Doc. We will link to it in the description for this. We're also going to tweet it out. Basically, as the draft unfolds, we are going to be ranking players for fantasy purposes. I know some other websites and podcasts and just groups of people do this as well, but this is one of those things where we're going to try and be up to the minute as much as possible, and we might continue that into day two and day three. I don't know. Those are definitely longer days, but at least for the first round, we're going to be doing that. So you can follow along if you just follow the links. So this ended up being just a little bit longer than I planned on it, but with it just being me and not having Charlie here for us to go back and forth, at least it stayed under 20 minutes. So guys, thank you so much for all the support we've had on these first few pods. Really appreciate it. It's been really fun. We've enjoyed it quite a bit. And hopefully your favorite teams have the best things happen to them tonight, unless you're a Patriots fan. I am a Dolphins fan, so I can't really cheer for you guys. But maybe you can get some fantasy-relevant players that'll help me out in my leagues as well. So good luck tonight, and everybody, I hope you have a great day.